Well, this is the how's that? Better? Good. Well, this is the last time I'll be preaching to you as one of your pastors. So it's great to, and I'm afraid it's a six pager. I apologise for that one. So if you're wondering how long it's going to take, watch me flip the pages and you'll be right. Don't worry about the points. Nothing to do with it. Judy just read out to us from the Word of God, the account from the beginning of Acts 1 and Acts 2. In Acts 1:11, we find Jesus' last words to his disciples, finishing with the account of his ascension. Someone's written the fictional follow-up that goes something like this. After Jesus ascended to heaven, after his mission on earth, the angels asked him, "Did you accomplish all your task?" "Yes, all is finished," the Lord replied. "We have a second question," said the angels. "Has the whole world heard of you?" "No," said Jesus. The angels next asked them, "What is your plan?" Jesus said, "I have left 12 men, some other followers, to carry out the message to the whole world." The angels looked at each other and then asked Jesus, "What is your plan B?" Well, plan A is still the plan. It is current, but there's an attachment to plan A that helped the disciples then and us today. The attachment is linked with Pentecost. Let me just pray as we think about this morning. Father, as we reflect upon and we think about what your Son, the Lord Jesus, did as he ascended, and then he gave the promise that things were going to change, things will happen, and the Holy Spirit will come. Father, as we think about this morning, please help us to reflect upon and see how that impact, that attachment to plan A, impacts us just today. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The disciples had returned to Jerusalem after Jesus spent about 40 days with them following his resurrection before he ascended to the Father. We read in Acts 1:15 that 120 men and women were together. Then in Acts 2 verse 1 we find when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Pentecost, it's a word which means a lot to some, to others, nothing. It's also possibly caused some confusion, some division, and some different assumptions. If I say to you the word Pentecost, what comes to mind just for you? Pentecost, what comes to mind? 50, yep. What else comes to mind? Pentecost. Holy Spirit, yep. Other thoughts? Tongues of fire, yeah. Pentecost. Yeah, some of those things will come out there. Well, the word Pentecost comes from a Greek word called Pentecostus, which means a 50th. It can be used as a percentage term, like to 2%, or a number of. Here, the context is, i.e., the 50th day. So we can read in Acts 2:1, if I can get it to move. You have to help me, Raj. When the day of Pentecost, or the 50th day, well, not too many. Oh, I got it. When the day of Pentecost, or 50th day, to fully come, they are all with one accord in one place. To understand, we need to ask the question, the 50th day of what? Well, Pentecost was linked with Israel's release from Egypt. After the children of Israel had been redeemed from Egypt, led by Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses to put in place sacred assemblies for the people to honour and remember what the Lord God had done. Feasts for the Lord. And we read in just Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16, "And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." You see, Pentecost was a certain day in the Jewish calendar, a feast. That is Pentecost, 50th day, was also known as the Feast of Weeks. It was an agricultural festival. New grain offerings focus on new beginnings. It was also known as the beginning of summer. And if you read in Acts 20, verse 16, we find Paul going to Jerusalem for Pentecost, for that Feast of Weeks, for that festival. But we read the 50th is also canon from another festival. If we count back from today, 50 days, which day do we come to if we go back 50 days from here? Which one? Which day? Resurrection Sunday. If we count back 50 days, we go back to Resurrection Sunday. We call that one. Or it was part of the unleavened bread. It also is called the Festival of Wave Offerings. It was known as well. The wave offering was the first fruits of the barley harvest, the first part of the grain harvest. Thousands of years later, we find the same term used again in the Bible describing Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits of who died. Should we be surprised at these things sometimes? Sometimes we are. Similar to the Passover 2 days beforehand, we also find another festival of Passover, the lamb and Passover. See, God being a God of purpose, he was taking those most important feasts and fulfilling them in a whole new way under a new covenant. The Feast of Passover, the perfect lamb, we think about on a Thursday evening. The Feast of Wave Offerings, the first fruits on the Sunday, Jesus rose again. The Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, new beginnings, 50 days on from there. The Feast of Weeks, coming of the Holy Spirit, a new beginning, new law in their hearts. But there's something else significant about the 50th day, Pentecost. You see, God is a God of order, of promise, and of meaning. In Exodus 12, verse 1, speaking of the Passover to come, before departing, we find this. Oh, we should have it. Thanks, Raj, again. You have to flick it over for me. Exodus 12, this is just before they've been released. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this is before they've left. This month shall be your beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year just to you. In the Jewish calendar, the first month is Abib or Nisan. It would be like our March or April. That's hence why Easter moves around. But in Exodus 12, we find the details of that Passover. But then we find in Exodus 19, verse 1, in the third month after, think about it, it's their month, not our month now. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt on the day they came to the wilderness at sort of Sinai. The third month, Sivan, is our May or June. We're looking at a Jewish calendar, not our calendar, a Jewish calendar. So we find in Exodus 19, verses 16 to 17, very important. This is, then it came to pass on the third day in their third month, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. So all the people who were there in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Which mountain? Sinai. Sinai at that period of time. Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, new beginnings. Pentecost, Feast of Covenant just renewal. You see, what was happening here, especially the third day of the morning of that first month, also aligns with the 50th day of the Feast of Weeks. It's the same day. At this time, the children of Israel received the law on Mount Sinai, known as the Old Covenant. Remember, I am the Lord your God. If you do this, I will do this. In Rabbinic Judaism, Pentecost has also been known as the Feast of Covenant Renewal. But the Israelites always struggled trying to keep the law. The law was perfect, nothing wrong with it. It showed us how holy God was, but the Israelites struggled in trying to keep that one. Even Paul reminds us that the law points to our sinfulness in Romans 7:25. I myself and my mind am a slave to God's law. Some 800 years later, Joel the prophet is telling the people the Lord's message, speaking of the time when the Spirit would come, a new covenant, a new way to be led by the Lord. And we find in Joel, here he speaking, well before Jesus is on earth, shall come to pass after that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see visions, and also my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Jeremiah, writing about the same time as Joel, spoke and records the words of the Lord in this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. The Holy Spirit comes in. It's a whole new way. There's nothing wrong with it. They knew they couldn't keep it. But God is a God of purpose, of men. It's not haphazard. Did this just happen on any day? No. The 50th day, the festival, God is a God of meaning and purpose. And this is how come Pentecost is, we think about Pentecost just today. And so, this specific Pentecost recorded in Acts 2, this Feast of Weeks, remembrance of a coming new, 10 days after Jesus had ascended, would be different. It would be significant. God was doing something new, ushering in a new era, but not haphazardly, but with purpose and plan and meaning. We read in Acts 2, verses 2 to 3. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them, divided tongues as a fire, and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Rushing wind? Fire? Where did that happen before? What did we just think about before? Sinai? Remind you of anything? Is God acting again? Acting in a new whole way. And with the feast, Passover, first fruits, we find Pentecost, or a Feast of Weeks, new covenant. God is again acting, starting a fresh new covenant. Law on their hearts. Joel and Jeremiah have prophesied it, but at specific times planned for it to come to fruition. But it was also a special time, a significant start of Plan A to be carried out by the disciples and followers of Jesus and us. An attachment to Plan A has been provided. The attachment provided empowered the disciples and taught them. Someone has written this. On the day of Pentecost, there were people to whom the Spirit was given would never be the same. As Christ said it would, that Spirit of God transformed the disciples from the inside out. Once timid men and women were now filled with their faith and courage of Christ their Saviour. It guided them to preach the message of the gospel boldly. It led them to personal challenge and growth. The Apostle Peter, the same man who denied Christ three times, now stood up and condemned the multitude for putting to death the Christ, the Son of God, and fearlessly challenged the assembly to repent of their sins. Just need to remember one thing though, especially to do with Pentecost. We need to be careful how we read this. Acts 2, at this time, was addressed to Jewish people. Remember, the Jewish people had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. They come for a festival. They come for a special time. Jews had come for that time. And we read in Acts 2, as Peter, this great sermon, this great announcement from Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, reads this out to them. Let me just read it. Acts 2, verses 36 to 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They come for another feast, not thinking what was going to happen. And then Peter gets up, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and tells them, you idiots, basically. This Jesus who you killed, God has announced he is the Christ you've been waiting for, your Messiah, and also his Lord as well. He is God. What was their response? What else shall we do? Peter turns and says, you need to repent. Here especially, repent that you actually killed your Messiah. And you need to be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Funny little one here you may not have picked up. And you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, what's going on there? This is a specific event. They're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because that's the person they had killed. They are baptized in his name especially. And they spoke in other languages, not in tongues, as in a spiritual tongue. They spoke in a language because God was doing a new thing. He wanted his message to go out. And so he gave them the gift of another language. And because, keep in mind, the Jews had come for the Feast of Weeks, for Pentecost. They'd come from everywhere and different languages. And he's saying, hang on a second. And they could hear them in their own language, the gift which was given to them especially. And yes, and we find in Acts 2 that 3,000 were baptized that day. 3,000. I've only ever baptized three in total, just together. No, in total. Three at one time. I know down the other day down at Frankston, there was about 400 been baptized. I was thinking of my wrinkled hands trying to baptize 3,000 people. I come out like a prune, I think, but I think there was others to help him as they were in there, but 3,000 were baptized on that day. Us, yes, we too as believers need to repent of sin, of ignoring God, and receive the same Spirit as those did on Pentecost Day. Then it should be followed up as soon as you possibly can with being baptized. And by Jesus tells us how? By the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit, but it was a different time. Acts 2 is different from how we know it. Same Spirit though. Because we do find in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all be made to drink of the one Spirit. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons and daughters, God has given to you the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit as he gave back then at Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. Same Spirit lives in you as lived into those. Same empowerment for them you have and we have now. Do we use it as much though? That's the debatable one, isn't it? Same Spirit though. Same empowerment. But often we don't utilise the gift which is given, or don't listen. Remember we thought about last week, we can quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. If you have come to God and said, please forgive me, I now recognise that Jesus is your Son. I know that he's paid the penalty for my sin. Please forgive me for ignoring you. I'm turning back. Repent means to turn from one way to the other way. At that point in time, you receive the Holy Spirit in your life at that time. But we thought about, as we thought about living a life of holiness, you can quench the Holy Spirit's working in your life. That's the challenge for us. And often by quenching, it is that we may not be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I was saying to someone the other day, an example of what for me was, just after Easter, I think we had the Good Friday service, we had the Dawn service, and we had Easter Sunday service. And I was planning, to actually, the very next Sunday, was to go back to my series on the life of holiness. One early morning, I was awake at about 3:30 in the morning, don't know why, but never mind. I really sensed God said, no, I don't want you. I want you to preach this one instead. And you may remember I preached about the road to Emmaus instead. Wasn't on my plan. Poor old Jenny had made out the mega roster with all on it. But I said, no. I really believe that God through his Spirit is telling me that I want you to preach this one. I have no idea why. I was just listening. I didn't want to quench the Holy Spirit. That's what means to quench. When the Holy Spirit is speaking and you go, no, no, got my own plan. Thank you very much indeed. That's what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. Let's think about as we finish up. I'm on page 5, okay? Don't panic. Only one more page to go. As with the disciples and followers of Jesus back then, we're also empowered for mission. But I think sometimes people are perhaps afraid to actually speak to others about their faith. Speak to friends, to workmates. In case they don't respond. You see, one thing we need to understand about mission or when we present the actual gospel, we don't make anybody a Christian. That is the Holy Spirit's work. That's part of the work. Our role is to be faithful in presenting the message and faithful in living the life. Then the Holy Spirit does the other thing. In fact, Paul actually tells us in First Corinthians, let me just read it out quickly, that to some it sounds foolish. Let me read out 1 Corinthians 1:21-25. 1 Corinthians 1:21-25. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and the Greeks after wisdom. But we preach Jesus Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Why doesn't it seem foolish to you, do you think? What do you reckon? Why doesn't it seem foolish to you now as a believer? One thing I can tell you, the Holy Spirit. Once you've believed, the Holy Spirit actually opens up. It's almost like, and Paul talks about, the veil has been taken off of your eyes. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's role is to teach, to guide, to encourage. That's the Holy Spirit. This is what Pentecost is about. It's about helping you to live your life now. And that's why all of a sudden the Bible, you go, that makes sense. It's because the Holy Spirit is doing those things in your life. So how can we be faithful as empowered for the task or mission? I want to suggest witnessing is not always easy. It can, yes, be scary. Typical Aussies sometimes can be seen as typical drinkers, gamblers, sports mad, larrikin, hates authority. Can I tell you, a young Christian man, started his first job in an engineering firm. He was determined to let people know that he was a Christian, so in his second week at work, he wore 2 badges on his jumper. It said, God loves you and Jesus is Lord. That was me. I certainly got attention. I walked into the drawing office. I had a purple jumper and 2 big badges on. God loves you and Jesus is Lord. I think a few of the guys looked and turned away. They didn't want to look at my jumper. But I certainly flew the flag that day, I can tell you right now. Sometimes it's easier to fly the flag early than don't fly it. I either find out one way or the other, you either are a Christian or you're not a very good one by your actions. Well, that was something done back in the 70s. I don't see people wearing Jesus loves you badges much anymore. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 speaks about just relational. He talks about that to this person, it'll be that person, that one there. And sometimes we need to be in relational. Much of witness these days is done in these days called a relational evangelism. Seniors' hope is a great relational evangelism. You're spending time with one person and spending time in their life, often opportunities to read the Bible. That is relational evangelism. You don't make anybody a Christian. You don't. It's not your role. Your role is to love and to be there. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. This is what Pentecost is about. I used to think always, can I encourage you? And this is one easy way. If people ask you on Monday morning, how was your weekend? You could say, oh, this, and this. Do you ever, don't worry about that, it's broken anyhow. It's broken now. Do you ever mention, yeah, I went to church on Sunday and we had a great time. We sang some great songs. That's what you'd be doing on a Monday morning when some people ask you, what did you do on Sunday? Can I encourage you also as Christians and in your language? I'm not using terms like, oh, I was lucky and that happened to me. You are not lucky at all. God is acting. Don't use the word luck. Just leave it out of your vocab. And use the words, and can I really encourage you, please do not use OMG. Leave it out of your vocab. It should not be there. You are then joining them. And take opportunities of giving thanks just to God. It was interesting. On Monday night, I was playing just my last game of table tennis because we didn't make it to the finals. And I was walking out and a few of the guys said, oh, it was a great game. I said, yeah, praise the Lord. And they said, I knew you'd say that. There's nothing wrong with that. But they just accept it now. You've got to start using some of that language. I'm not saying do it in the middle of Safeway. Don't get up there and go, praise the Lord. But I'm saying there's opportunities to use God talk in your language. How do we do relational evangelism? Well, certainly we'll be having in a few weeks' time, on the 19th of June, wasn't it, Keith? Ben Price is going to come on the Thursday night. If you want to come along and just think about, how could I do this? Good opportunity there as well. But it's no good doing relational evangelism if we're not prepared. And Peter encourages this. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defence or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it with meekness and fear. Not ramming down anybody's throat here. Remember, you're not making anybody a Christian. The Holy Spirit, that's the work, not your work. Yours is to be faithful. Well, good news, I'm on page 6. Jesus says in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and gentle as a dove. Gentle as a dove. Well, Pentecost, 50th day, Feast of Weeks, looking back 50 days to the resurrection of Jesus. The events of that first Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, it was a new beginning for them, a new covenant, a new way of peace with God. Jewish believers experienced that and received the Holy Spirit. The law was now written on their hearts. They couldn't keep it to be righteous. And God, being a God of purpose, he was taking those important feasts and fulfilling them in a new way under a new covenant. Looking back to Joel's prophecy in Joel 2 and forward the promise of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, words on earth, as he looked forward to what would happen, and it happened on that Pentecost. God was again acting, entering into human history, not haphazardly, but with plan, purpose. I mean, you see, God is a God of order, of promise, and of meaning. And I want to hang on to that. It's just not haphazard. Will I be saved? Will it happen? No. I can guarantee God is not that way. He's a God of purpose. He says, if you believe, if you turn back to me, you will be saved. You will receive the Holy Spirit and you'll be with me in heaven forever. That's what I want to hear. God is a God of purpose and a meaning and truth coming through and all those things. I was thinking about this also. One of the reasons that we actually do church on a Sunday is because of two reasons as well. One is because of Resurrection Sunday. Jesus was risen again, and Pentecost Sunday is really the beginning of the church. Surely, yes, it was an issue for Jewish believers on that first Pentecost, but then we were joined in. And the fulfillment of the church was when Jew and Gentile came together, and you can find that if you look up into Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, one body. The church commenced on Pentecost with the Jewish believers, and then it was opened up to then join. Same spirit which came in there. J.B. Phillips writes, every time we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, we mean that we believe that there is a living God able and willing to enter human personality and to change us. We thought about, Paul talks about a transformation through the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, if you've accepted God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, you've received the Holy Spirit, you are being transformed. Not always a good thing, a comfortable thing, but it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit working in your life and gradually transforming you to that point. Can I pray for us? Heavenly Father, as we've thought about this day, which we call Pentecost, and certainly was Pentecost, and Father, you remind us that it was a feast, a festival which you told your people to keep, to remember you by. The Feast of Weeks, new beginnings, but also the same time as you gave your law to the people as well on Mount Sinai. The same, in a sense, the same day, a different period of time. The law, a new beginnings. And at Pentecost, it was a whole new start. The law now written on our hearts. Thank you for that, Lord. Please help us. Father, we don't always find it easy to live life now in Melbourne 2025. But help us to remember we don't do it by ourselves. We have your Holy Spirit indwelling in us and empowering us and transforming us and teaching us and guiding us. Please help us not to quench your Spirit or to grieve your Spirit, to be lived and guided by your Spirit. And we ask that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask the singers and musos.